This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. We're going to get a glimpse now at a portion of Haiti beyond Port-au-Prince. We've seen many images of destruction in the capital. This morning, we'll learn about another Haitian city called Laogan. NPR's Jackie Northam went there with a team of search and rescue workers. She's on the line now. Jackie, what did you see?
Well, Steve, Laogan is about 40 miles west of the capital, Port-au-Prince. It's very close to the epicenter of last week's earthquake. And I went out to this city. It's normally about 160,000 people. And we went out yesterday with search and rescue teams from Iceland and the UK. And these were the first teams to get out to this city since last week's quake. Before we left, an assessment team, which had just returned from the area, said that 80% of the buildings in Laogan were destroyed. In Port-au-Prince, you know, you get these areas or pockets where a lot of buildings have been damaged or have collapsed. But I have to tell you, it was shocking to drive into Laogan because the city was essentially flattened. You'd be hard-pressed to find a building that really hadn't been damaged or collapsed, just mile after mile of buildings that had been destroyed.
Does anybody have the beginnings of an idea of how many people were killed just in that one place?
No, they're just getting out to that area now. This city isn't as congested as Port-au-Prince, which is good news for Laogan, because if you lose a building in Port-au-Prince, there's a very good chance you could lose 100 people. In Laogan, these are normally one, two-story structures, so if they fall, you don't lose as many people. But again, they really have no sense how many people have been killed at this point, and they haven't had people outside help to come in and determine that as well. Steve, I want to say one thing about this. So in Port-au-Prince, you know, when you get these rescue teams, I've been out with them for the past couple of days, there have been quite aggressive crowds, and you've seen a lot of looting going on and that type of thing. That wasn't the case in Laogan. I have to say, the whole time people were waving and trying to help us and saying thank you, everything else. It wasn't nearly the same sort of crowd that in Laogan that you were seeing in Port-au-Prince.
So did the rescue teams that you were with manage to find anybody, pull anybody out of the rubble?
No, I'm afraid they didn't. Neither the British nor the Icelandic teams were able to find anyone surviving. We were there on the fifth day after the earthquake, and really the only chance of anyone surviving is if they're in an air pocket. And we're seeing people being pulled from these sort of situations in Port-au-Prince, but that wasn't the case in Laogan. As I said, most of the houses, the buildings are, you know, just two-story structures, and the quality of the construction is incredibly poor. And what happened is they just pancaked in the quake. They really became two-story buildings, became one-story buildings, and there aren't any of these air pockets where people really could survive. And it quickly became clear to the search and rescue teams that the chances of anyone surviving this long in those conditions were remote. You know, we were planning to stay out there in Laogan for a few days to go through the buildings, but in the end we had to come back to Port-au-Prince. It was just decided there are no survivors in any of these destroyed buildings in Laogan.
You mentioned that there were fewer densely populated buildings than in Port-au-Prince, but of course there were schools.
Yeah, and those were what we concentrated on when we were out there, and this is really the hardest part. I was actually with the Icelandic search and rescue team as they visited several of these schools, and they spent a long time at one school where 40 to 50 students were believed to be when the quake happened. And the local residents said about a dozen children had been pulled out alive, but that was several days ago. And again, the Icelandic team spent a long time at this building. They put in listening devices, and they jackhammered into the flattened roof, and then they inserted cameras. They sent in dogs, but in the end, they walked away with nothing. They couldn't see or they couldn't hear any voices or any noise from under the building. And you know, Steve, it's so difficult because these were kids in there, and the rescue team, you know, they gave it what they had, and you could tell they were upset. They've got kids, but you have to move on. You have to look at other areas. But, you know, we're into day six now, and everything is on a time clock at this point.
Well, precisely. Where would they focus next?
There are still some places just outside the city in Port-au-Prince, but what they're looking for is buildings, again, where they might have these air pockets, where people may not have had food or water, but certainly they've had some air, and they might not be in good shape, but they would still be alive. So this morning they head back out again and start searching. There are more than 25 international search teams right now here. Organization has been a problem trying to find one point of contact to get them all going, but they will head out again today because there is still a chance if they can find people in these air pockets that they can pull them out.
NPR's Jackie Northam, thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.